Good afternoon. Thank all of you for joining us online for our Wednesday night service. This is sermon number 4 in our 5-part series, Going for the Gold. Today we're going to talk about crown number 4. We've been talking about the heavenly rewards or crowns that every believer can receive in heaven based on how they live the Christian life. Over the past 3 weeks, we've learned about the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, and the crown of life. Today's lesson is about the crown of victory. The crown of victory is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Paul says, "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." The crown of victory is awarded to those who exercise self-discipline in the Christian life. David Jeremiah, in his commentary about the crown of victory, said this: "Paul calls the crown of victory an imperishable crown and compares it to the perishable wreath for which athletes competed in the Greek games. Paul's point is that winning a race requires training, discipline, and sacrifice. And if athletes work so diligently to win a perishable crown, how much more motivated should we be as Christians to win an imperishable crown for God? If we are to win the crown of victory, we must practice discipline and sacrifice." Let me just say at this point that next week we'll finish this series and talk about the 5th and final crown. And also in that message, I'm going to talk about what the Bible says that we do with those crowns that we receive in heaven. And that's how we will end this series. So today is about the crown of victory. To receive this crown, we must demonstrate self-discipline and sacrifice in our Christian life. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, here we see in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing his letter to the church in the city of Philippi. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16, Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to this degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Give us insight into your word, Lord. Help us to be receptive to your word. I pray that we'll open our Bibles and open our hearts to be receptive to your word. Give me the words to say. Speak through me. Forgive me my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. William Barclay was a well-known pastor and theologian from Scotland. He wrote a very popular set of commentary books on the New Testament that actually sold over 1.5 million copies. In one of his commentaries, Barclay said this about Samuel Taylor Coleridge, who is a poet and philosopher in the late 1700s and early 1800s. He said this, quote, "Coleridge is the supreme example of the tragedy of indiscipline. Never did so great a mind produce so little. He left Cambridge University to join the army. He left the army because he could not rub down a horse. He returned to Oxford and left without a degree. He began a paper called The Watchman, which lived for 10 numbers or issues and then died. It has been said of him, he lost himself in visions of work, in visions of work to be done that always remained to be done. Coleridge had every poetic gift but one, the gift of sustained and concentrated effort. In his head and in his mind, he had all kinds of books, as he said, completed except for the transcription. But the books were never completed outside of Coleridge's mind because he would not face the discipline of sitting down to write them out. No one reached any eminence, and no one having reached it ever maintained it without discipline. Self-discipline is an important characteristic in life. In order to be successful in any endeavor, you must have self-discipline. It could be in your job, a career, in a sport, in a hobby, in the area of music, in the area of relationships, or even in the area of finances. If a person desires a high level of achievement, there has to be a high level of self-discipline. The greater the discipline, the greater the success. Self-discipline has been defined in this way: the ability to regulate one's conduct by principles and sound judgment, rather than by impulse, desire, or social custom. Self-discipline causes us to make the right decisions and right choices in our lives, and that leads to positive results. And this principle of self-discipline also applies to the Christian life. As Christians, our overall goal for all of us as believers should be spiritual growth. We should all strive for spiritual maturity. We should all strive to be Christ-like. And in order to do that, there has to be a certain level of self-discipline. It takes sacrifice. It takes self-discipline to grow in the Christian life, to become spiritually mature and strive to be Christ-like. And the Bible says that the crown of victory will be awarded to those who live a life of self-discipline and sacrifice. The Bible says a lot about the importance of growing spiritually and becoming Christ-like. Much of that teaching, of course, is from the Apostle Paul. And within that context of Paul's teaching, Paul points out the need for self-discipline in order to achieve that spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And here in this passage, Paul uses this illustration of an athlete, or more specifically, a runner, to describe the Christian's spiritual growth. So our lesson for today is titled, Running for the Prize. Running for the Prize. Notice three things here in this passage as we go through this lesson within the context of self-discipline. Notice, first of all, notice Paul's examination. Paul's examination. Look at verse 12 and the first part of verse 13. Notice what he says. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Notice verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. If there was ever anyone who could boast about their level of spiritual maturity, it would be the Apostle Paul. Paul was God's man to take the gospel message to the Gentile nations. Paul was a soul winner and a powerful preacher of God's word. He is probably the one person who was the most responsible for the spread of Christianity in the early days of the church. We read in Scripture and learn from Scripture that he took these missionary journeys, these missionary trips, and started new churches in all over in that part of the world. Today, we see how the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. So you would think that Paul, at this point in his life, you would think he could say, I have arrived. You would think he could say, I'm as spiritually developed or mature that I need to be. But Paul examined his own life and realized that he had not arrived. There was still more room for spiritual growth, even in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul was still working toward that goal of being Christ-like. Even after everything that he had already accomplished, Paul examined his own life and said, I still haven't got there. I still haven't arrived. There's still much more spiritual growth to go in order to become Christ-like. Listen, the first step in that race toward spiritual maturity is being honest with ourselves, taking that honest look, taking a look in that spiritual mirror, if you will, and looking at our own life and acknowledge that we haven't arrived in our spiritual maturity. It is a healthy thing to examine ourselves. The Bible says that as Christians, we're to examine ourselves. It's normal and healthy to take an assessment of our own life. And as Christians, it's good to do an inventory, if you will, and see where we are spiritually. But it's a dangerous place to be if we come to a point where we think we have arrived spiritually. Albert Einstein said this, a true genius admits that he knows nothing. A spiritually mature Christian will look at his own life and say that I've got so much more to learn. That's the first step in growing spiritually and continuing to strive to be Christ-like is realizing that we never arrived, that we've still got so much more to learn. Paul says, it's not that I've arrived. It's not that I'm already perfect. He says, I'm still striving. I'm still trying to be spiritually mature and be more Christ-like. That is the example that we need to follow, being honest with ourselves about our spiritual condition. So we see here, number one, first of all, we notice Paul's examination, but now let's look at this passage and notice Paul's exertion. Paul's exertion. Look at the second part of verse 13 and then the first part of verse 14. Notice what he says. Beginning with verse 13, he says, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived or achieved spiritual maturity, but he says this. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We see here that Paul wasn't satisfied with where he was spiritually. Paul wasn't content or satisfied with his spiritual level of maturity. So he says in verse 12, we saw that verse, he says, I press on. In verse 13, he says, I reach forward. And then in verse 14, we see Paul says, I press toward the goal. Notice these are very descriptive words. Paul is looking, illustrating his life again, as we said, as a race. And Paul is describing his Christian life as running a race. And that phrase, press on, in the original Greek language, it refers to an actual runner who runs aggressively, runs in an aggressive, energetic way. It means to strain as you run. It means to give it everything you've got to win the race. Notice also here in Paul's words here, he says, this one thing I do. You see, for Paul, in his life and his desire to grow spiritually, he had a one-track mind. That was his focus in life. He, just like an Olympic athlete, Paul specialized in one thing. And that was reaching the goal of spiritual maturity. He didn't let himself get distracted. This was his focus in life. Now, today in our modern world, I know we have all these things going on in our life. We live very busy lives. We have jobs and school and family activities, and we all stay very busy, and that's fine. But Paul was a very busy man as well. But his point here is that in everything that we do, we can't be distracted. Our focus in life, our central reason for living, is to be more Christ-like. This example, or this description of Paul's life here, this saying that he presses on, this one thing I do statement, it's all a great example of self-discipline and sacrifice. He uses this illustration of a runner straining, giving everything he's got, going all out. He says, I'm focused on one thing. His life is centered around his own personal spiritual growth and development. Doing what it takes to be more like Jesus. Cat Driscoll is a member of the Great Britain Olympic team, and he said this, the difference between doing well at the games and not doing well is sheer determination. You find that people at the top are those that still go into the gym when they are tired or ill and have the determination to battle through no matter what. I love what I do, so anything is worth it. The enjoyment you get at the end of the completion of the competition makes it worthwhile. And if you get to stand on the podium and hear your national anthem playing, nothing gets better than that. Listen to me, listen. God didn't save us to be dominated by the flesh or seduced by the world or tricked by the devil. Let's follow our Savior and strive to be more like Him in every way. God will honor that in this life. There are those benefits that we receive in this life as a result of growing spiritually and striving to be Christ-like and and focus on our spiritual maturity. But within the context of this series, we're talking about the crowns that God is going to give us. You see, like the Olympic athlete talked about standing on the podium and hearing your national anthem played when you win that event, and how it's all worth it. All those years of training, he says it's all worth it. Well, listen to me. When we get to heaven and receive our own spiritual reward, our heavenly reward, or that crown of victory, my friend, it'll all be worth it. It will all be worth it. So we see here not only Paul's examination and Paul's exertion, his example of self-discipline. Notice number three. Notice Paul's exhortation. Look at verse 15 and 16. Verse 15, he says, therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to ask yourself, what is the word therefore? Therefore, this is a prime example. When you see the word therefore in Scripture, it is referring back to what was just said. So Paul has just spent several verses talking about his own life and how he understands and he realizes that he hasn't arrived, he hasn't achieved spiritual perfection. He's not complete in his spiritual maturity journey. And he talks about how he focuses on that, how that he that's the one thing in life that he centers his life around, and how he runs that race. And he runs it to win. And so now we see in verse 15, he says, therefore, in other words, as a result of that perspective in life, of being focused on spiritual maturity, he says this. Notice, therefore, or as a result, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in any you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Notice verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Paul is encouraging all of us as Christians to live this same attitude of striving to be Christ-like. He says, let all of us walk by this same rule. And he said, notice he says, to the degree which we have already attained. You see, we're not all at the same level of our spiritual maturity and growth. So he says, regardless of where you are spiritually, let's all of us focus on that one thing. Let us all live by that one rule. Let us all have that same mind that we're going to focus on being Christ-like. He says, let us walk by this same rule. Let us reach for this same goal. Let's all of us as believers give it all we have, give it all we've got to grow spiritually and become Christ-like. Let's focus on the things that will enable us to grow spiritually and not let ourselves be distracted. There are some practical things, of course, we know that we need to do on a consistent basis that will enable us to grow spiritually. Obviously, we need to read our Bibles every day. We need to be in God's Word on a consistent basis. This is how God teaches us, and this is how we grow spiritually and become more Christ-like. Reading the Bible every day and spending time in prayer on a consistent basis. We need to attend Sunday school classes and participate in those and hear God's Word taught on a regular basis. Of course, we need to attend our worship services here at church and hear God's Word preached and worship the Lord together with other believers. And of course, we need to faithfully serve in the various ministries here at our church. All of these things collectively will enable us to grow spiritually. It will help us become more spiritually mature and more Christ-like. Let's all run that race. Let's give it everything we've got, as Paul says here. Let's make that our one focus. Let's run that race, and let's run it to win. Let's all run for the prize together. And when we get to heaven and we're at the judgment seat of Christ, he'll give us that crown of victory. Let's pray together. God, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for this example and teaching of the Apostle Paul. We understand that this should be a goal of every believer to grow spiritually, to become Christ-like, to become more like you, and help us not to be distracted by the things of this world or by the busyness of this world, and help us to do like the Apostle Paul and just say, this is the one thing that I'm going to focus on. This is one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, but reaching forward, pressing on toward the mark of the prize and the high calling in Christ Jesus. We know that in this life, if we focus on growing spiritually and being more Christ-like, we know in this life you'll honor that and bless that, and there'll be benefits and blessings that go with that. But we also know in heaven there'll be that spiritual or heavenly reward, that crown of victory that we can look forward to. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.